Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Wednesday, January 8th, 2012, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. 2012-2020. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on the chapter Into Action, page 81, paragraph 1. It begins with whatever the situation. Today's readers are Martha M. for the 12 steps, Lucy M. for the 12 traditions, Dawn B., Leslie W., and Penny L.C. After our recording ends, we'll have Nan K. greet our newcomers, and Leslie W. will have some announcements for you. Please stick with us for that. The reference number for the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for yesterday, January 7th, is 13936. That's 13936. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Wednesday, January 8th, is 13938. That's 13938. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll now ask Martha M. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. My name is Martha M. I'm a recovering compulsive under and overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for letting me do service today.
Thank you, Martha M. I'll now ask Lucy M. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Lucy M., a recovering compulsive overeater from Ashland, Oregon. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Number three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Number four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Number five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Excuse me. Number six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Number seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Number nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Number 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Number 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. Number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Lucy M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then please press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted, using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter Into Action. We're on page 81, and we're going to read and comment on the first paragraph. So, I will now ask Don B. to please get us started.
Good morning. This is Don B., recovered in Southern California. Whatever the situation, we usually have to do something about it. If we are sure our wife does not know, should we tell her? Not always, we think. If she knows in a general way that we have been wild, should we tell her in detail? Undoubtedly, we should admit our fault. She may insist on knowing all the particulars. She will want to know who the woman is and where she is. We feel we ought to say to her that we have no right to involve another person. We are sorry for what we have done, and God willing, it shall not be repeated. More than that, we cannot do. We have no right to go further. Though there may be justifiable exceptions, and though we wish to lay down no rule of any sort, we have often found this the best course to take. All right. Well, this is a very good paragraph here with a lot of good direction. And so whatever the situation, we usually have to do something about it. So we're not let off the hook if, you know, we want to look at, okay, we can't do any harm to anyone, so therefore we won't even admit it at all. And this clearly states that, no, we have to be... we have to definitely admit our fault. If we are sure our wife does not know, should we tell her? Not always, we think. If she knows in a general way that we have been wild, should we tell her in detail? And what this paragraph really speaks to me is that first and foremost, I need to spend time in meditation, asking my higher power for guidance on what to do. So, and then to, after going, you know, and spending that time with my higher power, to sincerely look for that guidance. And it may take a number of days, it may take, you know, however long it takes, but to really get a clear picture of clear direction and feel good about what it is our higher power is asking us to do, and then to not shrink from that. While I don't have specific experience and, you know, in this particular situation of not being faithful, to my husband, I certainly was unfaithful to him in, you know, with the food, with emotionally, that kind of thing. So, and then it goes on to say, undoubtedly, we should admit our fault. So admitting, you know, how I have in my relationship completely, you know, not been faithful to my husband in as far as a partnership. I was partnered with the food. I was relying on the food. I was emotionally turning to the food, and I had no time for my husband. You know, avoided him and emotionally was shut down and shut off from him because I was seeking my ease and comfort in the food. And to go directly to him and admit that, it goes on to say, she may insist on knowing all the particulars. She may want to know who the woman is and where she is. We feel we ought to say to her that we have no right to involve another person. So in here, how important it is as well, not only to ask our higher power for direction and get that, but then to clearly look to our sponsors for guidance on the specifics of what exactly we are to do. And then what I really loved and what I've learned from other people in this program is the suggestion to also ask other recovered members. I've had experience where I've had other people, you know, they said that their sponsor had them call at least three other people with experience, to find people with experience in this, and then
that's
to ask, you know, what their guidance was. So anyway, and with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much, Dawn B. Thank you for sharing your experience, strength, and hope. Who else would like to comment on this, the first paragraph on page 81?
Shamit Hanna.
Shamit Hanna.
Sarit L.
Sarit L.
Robin Joe
B. Robin Joe B. And I heard somebody else, but I'm sorry, I didn't get your name.
Rachel
Leslie
M.
I heard Leslie and somebody M.
Courtney M.
Okay, Courtney M. I got room for one more.
Rachel D.
Rachel B. Okay, so this is who I have for our first lineup. Shlomit Hanna, Sarit L., Robin Joe B., Leslie W., Courtney H, I believe I wrote down, and Rachel B. Okay, so Shlomit, honey, please go ahead. You'll be followed by Sarit.
Okay, thank you. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Loud and clear.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'm Shlomit Hanna B., recovering one day at a time. I'm so grateful for this program. Thank you, moderator, and thank you, everybody, for being on this meeting. And what I got from this paragraph is just how careful we need to be with other people. You know, as an addict, and certainly when I am in my addiction, it's really all about me, 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 me. And, you know, I think as an addict, it would be very easy to make the amends, the whole amends process, whole steps process, all about me. And about making me feel better, and about healing me and what's best for me. And very, very clearly, step 9 says that we make the amends as long as we're not going to injure other people. And in this paragraph, it's giving direction, more direction, on an example of how we would not injure other people. In this example, to the extent that the wife would know or not know the infidelity, you know, and also not giving the identity of the other person, the spouse. Because it's an addict, you know, in this case, I imagine, and in many cases, it would be easy to just do things that are really all about my feelings. So it might be blurting out the name of the other person or, you know, giving in to, you know, telling the gray details because we think that that's what the other person wants, and in the end, it's actually going to harm us. I think that this also shows how very, very, very important it is to have the help of a sponsor in making a mess because, you know, I really need to have another person working with me in their opinion, somebody objective who's not emotionally involved in the event, who can really, really see if this is going to harm somebody else or not. I know when I was making my amends, there were some amends that I was told not to make because it would harm other people. And that was what my sponsor told me, and that's what I did. So I just really love the sensitivity of the Big Book because in our addictions, we have hurt other people. And that's what Steph Line is about, is repairing those relationships with other people and also repairing our relationship with God and ourselves. All at the same time, and we're repairing something, we certainly don't want to break it further. So just really appreciate being reminded of this and once again being just shown the sensitivity of the whole step process of people who wrote this book. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Shlomit Hana. And Sreet L., you are up next. You'll be followed by Robin Jo B. Sreet L., do I want to unmute?
Yeah, thank you. Hi, it's Sreet L. Unmuting myself. Okay, so I think that Shlomi kind of just took a lot of those words from my mouth, too. This paragraph speaks so much about how to make amends in general, and how do we make amends is by being so careful first, really being so careful with other people, and that's why God gave us all these relationships. We have so many different types of relationships in the world, and every person does. Even if you're living alone in your house with a dog, you know, there's always a father, there's a mother, so we have our parents, our siblings, children, employees, bosses, ex-husbands, you know, spouses. It's incredible how much relationships there are out there. And really each relationship has, there's such beauty in it, but we have to be careful in each relationship to not step on the toes of others. And so when we have hurt another person, you know, the next paragraph speaks about the jealousy, which we're dealing with that most terrible human emotion, jealousy. And we don't want to trigger any sort of that character defect in another person. And this paragraph really takes great care in teaching us that we don't want to hurt other people. And we can make amends and hurt others. And we've been so selfish in our disease. I've been so selfish in my disease. It is a very selfish disease. And in recovery, I need to be not just truly altruistic, but because it's an ego-smashing process, it's building up the other person. It's smashing ourselves and building up the other person. So it's really going to the exact opposite extreme in recovery, to true selflessness and thinking about how, even in the amends process, we have to think how the other person might be affected. And we can't just clean up our past because we want, you know, to be clean on the expense of other people. And so this book, I feel like the underlying message that we're getting in this book in the amends process is to have a respect for another, to give them that respect that person deserves, that each person deserves. Love and tolerance of others is our code. And the message that we're hearing here is really respect other people. Other people have value and appreciate and acknowledge the other. That is really, you know, this is the process that this book is teaching us. We know that the thesis line in the big book is being of maximum service to others. So the whole this whole book just gives us, you know, again and again the same message. And we see at the end of this paragraph that more than that we cannot do, we have no right to go further. Where's the sentence where we are sorry for what we have done, God willing, it shall not be repeated. And that message is given to us also on page 69, when we subject each relation to this test, was it selfish or not? We ask God to mold our ideals and help us to live up to them. And so it's with every relationship that we're faced with, there are so many opportunities to bring God in.
Gentle reminder.
And I'll finish up, thank you. And to ask God, you know, am I being selfish here or not? How can I live up to this ideal of godliness in our relationship? With that, I'll pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Sarit Al. Robin Jovi, you're up next. You'll be followed by Leslie W.
Hey, thank you so much. This is Robin Jovi from Missouri, and recovered by God's grace and for his glory. And I love this part of the big book. I thank God that I have never committed adultery, nor have I, has my husband ever, that I know of, been unfaithful to me. I cannot imagine the pain that causes. So I am thankful for that, and I have compassion for those who have went through it. What I always get out of this, or maybe not always, but lately, you know, we were powerless, and then, you know, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves, and then we made a decision to turn our lives and our wills over to that power. And, you know, my higher power is jealous for me, and I think that anything that we put above, or anything that I put above or before God, is adultery. And I have heard that adultery is, I know, idolatry is adultery to God, you know. And so have I been an adulteress in my relationship with my God? And yes, many, many times, of course, the food, the exercise, the body image, you know, I used to seriously think, what do thin people even think about? Because seriously, I thought at least 95% of my brain was working on what am I going to eat? When am I going to eat it? How am I going to get rid of it? You know, and and so absolutely, I had so much unfaithfulness to my higher power. And if I am unfaithful to my higher power, then the rest of this, these 12 steps are not going to work for me. And wow, just getting that straight with God, repenting of that, turning from that, and then just trying every day to be in his grace and know that it's his power that's keeping me there. Is just the only, I just know now that, you know, that's just the only way I can live. And I'm so thankful. And I truly, truly am thankful for the anorexia, the severe anorexia, the severe bulimia, the severe, just the compulsion, the exercise, the getting up in the middle of the night and jogging in place for an hour, the bloody tailbone from having, you know, from doing too many sit-ups. It was just ridiculous, and I'm so thankful now. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Robin Jovi. Leslie W., you are up next, and Courtney H. will follow you.
Hey, thanks, Elaine. This is Leslie W., recovered in Tennessee. I did want to speak on this. man, it's hard to talk about this, isn't it? Early on in my marriage, years ago, when my husband and I were first married, and we had moved to the New York City area, and he was in school, I had an inappropriate relationship with a colleague, a man that I worked with at that time, and, you know, I did exactly what it talks about here. My husband wasn't giving me what I felt like I deserved. And then I started thinking, well, I'll go over here and see if this guy feels my emotional needs. You know, I can remember the day that I thought I was making an amends and being honest and being a good person by going to him and disclosing the nature of that relationship, which he knew about, but did not know the extent of that relationship. And you know, I can still remember it. Stings, the memory stings when I think about it, because he was so hurt and he was so angry, and it just basically, the whole thing backfired and blew up in my face. I learned a lot from that. I learned that, one, I don't need to go off and make amends with people before I run it by my sponsor or trusted advisor. And two, you know, sometimes the kindest thing that we can do for someone is to spare them from further pain and further hurt. If we know that our behavior is changing and we don't have any intention of ever going back to engage in that behavior. And you know, I was just a really selfish human being, still am. But the difference is that I'm aware of it. I guess that's the biggest difference in the, you know, pre-recovered Leslie and the post-recovered Leslie, is that now I'm aware of my selfishness. I'm really acutely aware of it. And when it comes up, I know what to do to get rid of it. And, you know, oh, gosh, already at 3 minutes. I'm just so grateful for this program and grateful to have a place to go to deal with these kinds of issues when they arrive. So with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks, Elaine.
Thank you. I'm so grateful for these honest, vulnerable shares on step nine. If you're a newcomer, this is step nine. There's a long ways to go before we're ready to go ahead to do this. So, Courtney M., you are up next, and after that, we're going to take another lineup after Rachel B. shares on page 81, paragraph one. So, Courtney, please go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, this is Courtney M., recovering in Southwest Florida. I have amends that I have to make amends for, because I did do the thing where I kind of went off on the, I have to feel better about this, so I need to get it off my chest and tell this person about this resentment I had been holding, yada yada, and like some of the other people shared, that absolutely made things dramatically worse. It did not alleviate anything. It did not clear the wreckage of my past at all. And I was just kind of out there in the wilderness thinking that I could do it on my own without guidance and without truly taking it to my higher power before doing it. And, you know, I'm still fairly new to the OA program and to this call but I have heard so much more because I've been involved in a different recovery program for several years. I've heard so much more on these calls and in this big book study that is impacting me. One of the things that I heard in today's reading was that we don't set down rules about how to make these amends. We're just giving you gentle suggestions, basically. And I love that because as a compulsive type of personality, man, I love rules because I love to run right up against the edge of them. I love to push them and break them and bend them. And when somebody says there's no rules to this, you just need to do the next right thing, that kind of blows my mind. Like, is that really that, like, you can do that without all these specific, you know, rules to live by? But the thing that comes through in this paragraph too is the idea of not creating more harm by giving more information than is necessary. Because it's so easy for me to get into the diarrhea of the mouth situation where I just, you know, I'm on a roll. So stuff is going to keep coming out if I'm not careful about it. And, you know, the majority of that stuff really doesn't need to be said. It doesn't need to be said out loud. I can share it with my sponsor. I could share it with my higher power. I could write it down in a journal instead of, you know, using it on somebody. So I just, that specific part is what jumped out at me, the idea of really looking at guidance and looking to other people's experience and pausing before rushing in to an amend. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Courtney M. And again, after Rachel B., we'll take another lineup for page 81, paragraph 1, whatever the situation. Please go ahead, Rachel B. Whoops. We'll take names after Rachel B. shares, please. Sorry about that, if I caused any confusion. Didn't mean to do that at all. Rachel B., you're up next, and then we'll take another lineup. I thought I had a Rachel B. Ooh, perhaps I was dreaming.
I was on mute, sorry. I'm sorry? To share. There's still time.
Is this Rachel?
Yes, it is.
Oh, please go for it, Rachel. Thank you so much.
Thank you. My name's Rachel. I'm a compulsive overeater and a compulsive undereater. And your guys' share has helped a lot. Yesterday was the first time I've ever called in, and it's kind of funny that this is where it started at because I was cheated on by the person I was with for 8 years. And yesterday reading this and listening to it, I was like, yeah, he did this to me. He did this to me. And then today listening to it, it's like, but what was my end of it? Because I haven't really paid attention to my end of it. It's always been, well, what he did to me. And I don't know, I really resonated with both of these the last 2 days, but today there's a part where it said, you know, I needed to know everything in detail and it shall not be repeated and blah, blah, blah. But I've really resonated with that because it was hard. But, you know, when I was at the very beginning of our relationship, I cheated and I told him what I did. And I mean, we weren't together yet, but we were dating and I told him what I did. And the apology was so selfish. I did it just to feel better. It wasn't to tell him the truth. It was because I felt so guilty about it. And then for me, I found out because I found out, like, he didn't tell me and he still never has. He's given me no details about it and stuff like that. And I just have such a hard time accepting it. But for some reason, reading this today made it a little easier with accepting that I don't have to know and I don't really get to know. It's just it happened. And I'm newer in OA. I've been to other 12-step programs and I'm newer here in OA. And this is like, it's harder. I don't know how to explain it, but it's not harder. It is harder. I don't know. But I just feel like I have to be even more honest with this one because I can't blame it on the drugs. I can't blame it on the alcohol, anything. I have to just accept that I did these things and I did them to make myself feel better. I was so selfish and I thought, you know, overeating didn't hurt anybody else, but really it does. And that's really all I have to share. I don't know. I had like something in my head that I was going to say, but now I don't know what I'm going to say. So I'm going to pass, but thank you.
Thank you so much, Rachel B. We're glad you're here. Welcome. Okay, now we're ready for a lineup. Who'd like to share on this comment? We have room for just about five if we keep it right at 3 minutes.
Bruce
Ricky
E.
M. Bruce E. And I heard an N or an M.
Ricky M.
Ricky M.
Stacy J.
Stacy J. Well, I hear somebody quite okay. K, I think it is.
Yeah.
And one more. I have Bruce E., Ricky M., Stacy J., Kat K.
Jackie M.
Jackie M. Okay. All right. So we have a little less than 3 minutes each. So if you could be mindful of that of your shares, we're going to start out with Bruce M., followed by Ricky M., Bruce E., followed by Ricky M. Please go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, Bruce E., I'm an addict. I'm down in South Florida, down Fort Myers, Florida area. And, thanks, everybody. Thanks, all those doing service on the line. Thanks, everybody on the line. Well, let's see. I had a little experience in this area. I know we've been talking about money stuff for about a week or two, and then now we get over into sex. I think I'm a little better about talking about the money stuff than the sex, but I think both are important. So, you know, I got to get it out. I really blew it on this deal. I've been married a long time, haven't gone out on my wife, but you know, wait a minute now. I have gone out on her in my thoughts, you know, I've had sexual thoughts. I'm really working on that. I've been working on that a long time. I'm really working on that. I want to be totally 100% faithful with my wife, not only in what I do, but also in what I think. So, now, before we got married, when we were just dating, we were engaged, I think, at that time. I don't know. I'd heard somewhere that you're supposed to tell all your wife, you know, let all your wife know, let your wife or future spouse know the stuff that you did or whatever. And so I told her a bunch of stuff. And, you know, I don't know why I did it now, looking back on other than I'd heard, you know, you're supposed to do that. But I thought maybe it was cool or something or whatever. I'm not sure. But it was a mistake because over 20 years later, she told me, you know, all that stuff you told me before we got married? I said, yeah. She said, I wish you wouldn't have told me any of it. And I'm going, oh, no, I wish I hadn't told any of it now. You know, what a mistake. But, you know, I'm a human. We're humans. We make mistakes. I make mistakes. And that was a mistake. So like it says in here, if you're truly sorry for what you did, and I really am. I really am truly sorry. I'm truly sorry on a daily basis for the stuff that I do that's not right, you know, that isn't quality, that isn't, you know, graceful and it isn't loving and kind. You know, I'm really truly sorry for that stuff. I really am. I don't think I'm just saying it, but I really am. And when I do the things that I shouldn't be doing, it's made known to me immediately. You know, I usually know it in my mind. And then I can apologize. I can do an amends. I can do a 10th step, you know, and which I do a lot of. And things are better. You know, they really are. And, you know, I'm not going to go back. Oh, thank you. I'm not going to go back to doing all that stuff I did before. I'm not going to do that. I don't do that anymore, and I'm not going to go back to it. So, yeah, so things are better, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Bruce C. Ricky M., you're up next, followed by Stacy J.
Hi, can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Thank you.
Okay, so
I want to touch upon something, which I think I'm getting the right idea. I think at the beginning of this paragraph, it talks about being honest and open with your wife and telling her things. I think there comes a time that sometimes, whether I'll just talk about, you know, the fear part, like whether there might be like a physical, you know, harm done, you know, by being in, you know, having an affair, and a person could be like, I don't want to say anything because then she'll leave me. And I think that's where the honesty comes in, that sometimes we do have to be open and honest. And again, this is with the support of counseling and with your sponsor, that we would, you know, we could use the excuse, oh, well, it's going to hurt her feelings. If I don't say anything, I'll just never do it again. But there is an honesty that we do have to sometimes tell our partner, you know, that, you know, I've been out, I did something, you know, maybe we have to get physically checked and just kind of clear that. And with that understanding that if she's hurt or if she wants to leave you, then that's of leave the person, that's okay too. That's part of making amends, that giving her the ability to make the choice to stay in a relationship when there was an affair or not. Once that's done, then continuing on, we don't have to go into specific detail because more will just harm even more. We could just give the basis and let her make the decision. Even if she hounds for, oh, I want to know all of it and everything, that's when the next step comes of being smart and having support and knowing what to say, what not to say. But, yeah, I mean, not everything has to be said. There's times like the last year, there's thoughts that come and go. Having to share everything is not always smart. You know, being smart about it, and that's having support in the program through, you know, the struggles is very important. But again, being honest and open and giving the partner the ability to make choices as opposed to being selfish and owning it, saying, well, I don't want her leaving me. I want her, I want to have done what I've done and move on and, you know, and have her not leave me or not be upset at me and not have that choice, you know, that there's times that, and a lot of times also the partner knows that there's an affair, whether, because she can tell, you know, they can tell it in the relationship that the energy's changing and there's something going on. And when at least bringing it out into the open and then clearing it, you can work through it. And there's choices. Not everybody is willing to put up with it. And some people are willing with help. Because a lot of times we say, oh, we'll never do it again. And then we keep doing it again. So being open and honest in the right way with support is also important. And I think that's what I kind of learned from this. This paragraph. Thanks for letting me share. But I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Ricky M. Stacey J., you're up next, followed by Kat K.
Thank you. This is Stacey J., a recovered food addict in Toronto. Lots of things struck me here, and so many great shares about the selfishness of the food addict and the alcoholic. You know, we spent so long thinking about ourselves always, that naturally, if unguided, I would go out and do this, like people have said, just to relieve my conscience. And if that means throwing someone else under the bus, you know, so be it. And I love that the instruction is not an absolute, because human relationships are complex and individual situations are complex. And so, you know, the writers of the Big Book got this. And so they're not saying in every situation we have to tell the person the specifics. And I love in a sense that it's that we need the guidance of recovered fellows. And the specific sentence I wanted to call attention to here is that we say to the person that we're sorry for what we have done, and God willing, it shall not be repeated. What I think to myself there is, when a person is doing this work, this is the fourth step. I haven't even yet asked for the removal of my defects in 6 and 7. I've inventoried them and I'm making amends in 9, but that doesn't mean that my selfishness is removed. You know, I'm still a person, you know, my higher power gratefully removed my obsession with food very quickly in this process, but it's an ongoing process that selfishness creeps in. And so I need to remember that I will never be perfect, and that other people are going to, like my sponsor and other recovered fellows, it's so great to talk to them and get their sense, because, you know, selfishness can creep in, and in my desire to lighten my own load, I may end up hurting others. So the fellowship and support of other people who have gone through this process is great. And when I was doing my amends, I experienced that my sponsor had a very sensitive approach to amends that was not about a scorched earth policy. You know, it was very, very sensitive, but at the same time, I have to take account of what I've done. You know, that ego deflating process needs to happen through these amends in order for a spiritual awakening to happen. You know, the spiritual awakening often comes after these amends happen as a result of ego deflation. So I have to make myself small, but not hurt anyone else. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Stacy J and Kat K and Jackie M. We have time for about 2.5 minutes each. So please go ahead, Kat K.
Hi, Kat K, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you for all the shares. I made a commitment before I dialed into the line that I'd share today, not fully understanding what we'd be talking about, but how I think about the sex inventory to me and my sex conduct, I think about it in the same way I and my prior self before discovering this program is very much I find that my conduct around food, my conduct around money, and my conduct around sex all are very similar in that it's all about behavior that is very self-seeking. How do I find worth within others' approval of me? And like with money and food is very much like, how can I hoard onto it? I might starve. Like, it's a very sick and a very much of a lack of abundance, and that higher power is going to take care of me. And so my sex conduct was really like a self-seeking, how can someone validate my self-worth? And so today, part of recovery and gaining dignity is that I don't need other people to validate my self-worth. It's not about people pleasing. It's not about having someone make me feel worthy, but it's about connecting with a higher power being of maximum usefulness so that I could actually be a person of self-worth on my own without the validation from somebody else. And that's how I view my sex conduct has changed as a result of needing less of other people's approval. So that's what immediately came to mind for me as we talked about the sex conduct. Thank you very much for letting me share. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you very much, Kat K. And Jackie M., you'll finish this off with about 2.5 minute share, please.
Hi, this is Jackie M. from Michigan. Thank you so much for everyone's share and for your service. And like the gentleman said, I've not actually gone out on my husband physically, but mentally I have. And to me, that is just as bad as actually doing that. And I have made amends to him, and he laughs at it and says, oh, don't worry about it. Everybody does it. I don't know if everybody does it, but it makes me feel bad. I feel like I've gone out on him. And so I can't do that. And what I'm finding is doing the sex prayer helps out so much and takes away those feelings that are just so strong that I can't control them. And with God's help, I can. And that's the only way I can do it. And with that, I will close and thank you all so much for being here and for your service. Thank you. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Jackie. Well, we do have time for maybe just a 1 minute
1.5 minute share. If anybody would like to just throw their two cents in.
Pam M?
Go ahead, Pam.
The one thing that just came up for me on Pam Recovered in Upstate New York, Adirondack Mountains, is that this book was written before STDs were really talked about, and maybe some of the old time ones, but not HIV and whatnot. So I think that that also needs to be considered if you've exposed your spouse to a disease. But great shares, everyone. I love you all. I'm so grateful to be part of this meeting and be given all of this food for thought. So with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Pam. And thank you, everybody, that shared today. We're going to transition the meeting now by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Leslie W. please read a vision for you?
Yes, I will. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until